Welcome to Ask an Atheist. I'm your host, Colton, and I am here with Sam and Becky.
Hi, how you doing?
Hey, Colton.
Hi.
Yeah, I'm down from the mountain, at least for this weekend.
And someone's taken over your studio.
Yeah. I was hoping that would happen. You know how it is.
And this week it ain't me.
No. It's somebody I like. Sorry. How you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Pretty good. How do you like being on the radio?
It's feeling great.
So what do you got for us today, Colton?
Some questions I would like to interview with Sam.
Okay, so wait, what?
So you're putting Sam on the spot here? That's
yes.
The atheist we're asking today?
Yes.
Oh, crap. All right, so I'm being interviewed, I guess. Why don't we? All right.
Let's carry on then.
What did you do before Ask an Atheist?
Oh, well, I am kind of a nerd. I don't know if you noticed this, but with all the technology stuff. But I started out when I was younger than you are now. I discovered that I really liked computers and loved working on them. And I discovered how much I liked working with radio. And so that's what I learned to do was computers, radio, you know, RF data engineering, basically. Not in any concerted way. I didn't get specific training for it, but that's what I did. But the weird thing is I didn't realize that you could make money doing computers. I know that sounds weird now, right?
Yeah.
But it was just a hobby to me. I was playing video games, making my computer make bleepy bloopy noises, you know, stuff like that. And so I was learning to do like drywall and plumbing and a little bit of electrical work and stuff like that with my dad. Because I figured, you know, I'd need a way to actually make money so that I could eat. And then a friend of mine said, hey, Sam, there's this company called Starnet and they need a webmaster. You should apply. And I'm like, wait, you can make money doing this? And I go, yeah. And so that's what I did. And so I worked at a mom and pop internet service provider for a while, and then I got hired by a cable company that was a wireless cable company. They did cable TV over microwave radio, which is confusing. But they also did. They were one of the first cable modem companies, but over the air. And so what we would do is you would receive your internet from the microwave transmitter, but you would get it back via modem, like a phone modem. That may be before your time. They make squeaky noises.
I think phones to Colton might be might exist in the form of a tablet that goes in your pocket.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So I worked on this Stone Age technology for a while. That was pretty amazing at the time. Then that kind of dried up, and I did real estate software, which I found incredibly annoying. And then I did this. So I know I'd ask you what you do for a living. I think it's go to school.
Yeah.
But what would you like to do? Like, what are you interested in?
I'm interested in computers.
Okay. Any particular aspect of computers or?
No, not really.
No. Oh, okay. I know how it is. Don't generalize. Or don't over-specialize, rather. So, yeah, that's what I did before Ask an Atheist.
How did you know you wanted to do a podcast?
Well, I was 5 years old. And my dad brought home a boombox, which was quite the new thing at the time. And I found out it had a little microphone on it,
Yeah. So
that you could record and it would, you know, you could play it back. First thing I did was make a talk show, and that tape is around somewhere. My dad kept it, and so I've always wanted to do this. And then when podcasting was starting out, like right around the turn of the century. This is actually my second podcast. My first podcast was called The GM Gourmet, and I did it with a friend of mine called Elena. Her name is Elena, and it was a cooking show for gamers. So we would talk about like Dungeons and Dragons and stuff like that, and then we would cook food based off of some theme in the, and it was, you know, we had like levels for the food, like this is level one, this is epic level, this is that sort of thing. And that was my first podcast, and it was a lot of fun, but it sounded terrible because I didn't know the art yet. And but yeah, I've always wanted to do talk radio. Talk radio is I think an amazing form of performance, I suppose.
How did you know about to get the podcast going?
Like technically or like how do you mean?
Like on the internet.
Oh, well, like I learned how to do all the internet stuff when I was young. And the interesting thing about podcasting is that all of the technologies that you need to do podcasting had their genesis in other things. They were like web pages. Like without a web server, you can't do podcasting. And so I already knew how a web server worked. And then the way things get downloaded uses an XML file. I already knew the basics of it. I just needed to know specifically how to put them together to make them work as a podcast. And then I guess that's the distribution side of it. For actual production of the podcast, my dad, I don't talk about it very much, but most of my family are performers. My mom, my dad, my sister, and my brother all play guitar and or bass. I'm non-musical because I only have 7 years of vocal training. And so like live sound and studio production, I just sort of learned that through my, I don't know that I ever sat down and said, I'm going to learn how to do this stuff in the studio. It was just stuff I picked up here and there. And that when I sat down and I decided I needed to make this studio, I realized that all that stuff that I had just learned from hanging out with my dad and his bandmates suddenly had an application. And I ended up being pretty good at it. It was just a weird sort of serendipitous thing.
How did you feel when you did your first TV episode?
Bet you weren't expecting that kind of laughter.
Oh. No, I wasn't.
I was really embarrassed. There's a saying that's fairly common. I have a face for radio.
The corners of his mouth are rising a little bit in a smile.
I got some fairly unkind comments about my appearance. And then a few kind things that were just misinformed. I don't know if I should get into specifics about it. I don't really want to.
No.
But I was really uncomfortable on TV. And 90% of it is I think I look terrible. No, I think I look terrible full stop. But I think I look especially terrible on TV. So, and having to pay attention to, like, in the studio, I can just talk to you, I can look at you, and we can have a real conversation, and I'm not focused on the visuals of it. I can just look at you, and I can look at Becky, and we're having a real conversation. But with the kind of show that we were doing on television, we had to look at the TV. I wasn't looking at you, I was looking at the TV, and the TV, it doesn't laugh or smile or do anything. It's a chunk of machinery, and it's really hard to play off of that. And
it's
so
it's hard to interact.
I felt, and maybe have you seen any of the TV shows?
No, I actually haven't.
Okay, please don't. But if you happen to look at them, you will notice I am this sort of floating, sort of freeform thing that I'm doing. I couldn't do it on TV. I was like, this is Ask an Atheist. Welcome to the show. My name is Sam. Bought 5,000. Operating, bzert, you know, that sort of thing. I was really artificial.
How about the first radio episode?
Oh, man. I was a lot more comfortable there. However, it was the first time I had to not only do the show, but like adjust the knobs and press all the buttons at the same time. And if you think this looks complex, the board at KLAY has a lot more blinking stuff and big knobs and stuff. It was like it's a lot like this, and you know, just a bunch of I know nobody on the radio is going to see.
Pat your head and rub your stomach while chewing gum and skipping rope.
Yeah, and it's just all sorts of stuff. So I would and I was really, so I'll be like, yeah, I'm having this nice conversation. And I'll be like, yeah, apparently something is completely wrong with the Pope, and oh yeah, and I'm back on the air now. And but other than that, it was by the time we hit KLAY, it was a lot more like the show you hear now. And it was just a lot more fun and a lot more comfortable for me. I mean, did you listen to like the early days? Like, I don't know how long you've been listening to the show, but I don't know, maybe you've seen a marked improvement or something like that. And I think a part of it is way better than TV. I hate TV.
What are your hobbies?
Well, radio, ham radio, in fact, which is a little different than this. Video games. I really like old video games. When I started playing them, they weren't old, but they're old now. I homebrew. I build circuits. Right now, I'm, you know Dan, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Dan has a garage door. He needed a thing for to open it. I think he ordered one, but that's boring because there's this little box that you carry around and it just, yeah. It's got one and that's all it does. So using a microcontroller, I'm actually making a web page that you can go to on his phone, and it just says, it has one button on it on the web page that says make door go.
Oh.
And it opens his garage door.
That's
so that's
cool.
That's the kind of stuff that I do in my free time.
And in terms of like circuitry and things like that, Colton, you were telling me a little bit that you have been working with some solar panels to like make sort of toys go and things like that, right?
Yeah.
Okay, really?
Yeah.
I've not really played very much with solar panels yet.
Like, what was the thing that you most recently built?
A solar panel dog that wags its tail when it's in the sun. I tried it on light, but then it actually didn't work, so then I did it in the sun tomorrow,
you know,
and I did it.
I wonder if it would work. I wonder if it requires just, like, wide-frequency sunlight, like wide-spectrum sunlight, or if just standard lights aren't powerful enough. Because
yeah.
I've got this 100-watt LED, not 100-watt equivalent. It is. It actually consumes 100
you
watts.
You have to wear the eclipse glasses to look at it.
Yeah. I have to wear my welding goggles when I'm working on it, because otherwise I blind myself. I wonder if it would work under that. I don't know. Just other things I think about.
Do you have any animals?
I have one cat. Now one cat, unfortunately. But I think we've recently talked. Becky, you did the show, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. We talked about on a previous episode about how atheists kind of encounter pet loss and deal with that.
Yeah, well, our remaining cat is Mr. Adventure. He looks a bit like an orca, and he makes the kind of orca-ish noises. I don't know, but he's really lonely and acting strange. And right now, every time you open the door, he darts out the door and starts chewing on this rose bush that we have. It's very strange.
I think since the original writing of these questions, Colton has gotten to know Mr. Adventure.
All right, so you've been hanging out with Mr. Adventure, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have a sense of how crazy he is.
Yeah, he's very crazy.
Yeah, he is Starbuck was Becky's cat before. Like, we weren't, when we got these kittens, we weren't living together.
Yeah.
And so Becky was going to get Starbuck, and Mr. Adventure was going to be my cat. And honestly, he likes Becky more than me, but we hang out. And he's a pretty smart guy. One time I was having an argument with him I was having an argument with Becky like you do. And after we were done and I was sad, he hopped up on the couch, sat next to me, and just put his paw on my lap and looked at me like he was like, are you all right? Everything okay? Like, yeah, everything's fine, Mr. Adventure. And then he left.
That earned him the nickname Guidance Counselor
Cat.
Yeah,
he's Guidance Counselor Cat.
It's okay, son. It'll get better.
What type of cars do you like?
Oh boy. I really like small and efficient cars. Before I moved up here, I had a Honda Hybrid. And then Becky got the Veloster, which is this blue TARDIS blue car that is nice and small. And however, I recently bought a truck, which I think you've seen me driving around
in
today. A Ford F-150. And this is the second truck I've ever owned. And I forgot how much I was missing.
Kind of suits you.
Yeah, it does suit me. However, for a brief period of time, I had that Mazda Speed Turbo with this huge spoiler on the back that I hate. I did not like it, so I called it the HMS Ridiculous Spoiler. And we had that car. I really liked that car. That was a lot of fun to drive. But the spoiler actually ended up being handy because we would do the show at KLAY. I would get the CD from KLAY. I would go out into the parking lot, and that, you know, I mean, you know, the hoods and trunks of cars are usually, you know, rounded and folded, and if you put things on them, they slip off, right?
Yeah.
Okay, the spoiler, completely flat. So I used it as a desk. I would put my laptop on it, and I put the CD in it, and I would produce the show in the parking lot so that I could finish the show up there, and then we could drive to wherever we were going to have dinner, you know, for post show.
Yeah.
And the spoiler ended up being the most useful thing about the car.
Well, I've forgotten that.
Yeah. There's pictures of me sitting in the back of my car going, nah, 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 nah. And yeah, so that ended up being useful. But I really like this truck. It really suits me.
What would you do if you had $1 million?
I guess save it is boring. I would spend a lot. I would probably get a radio station. I don't know. I've always wanted to do that. Although I'm kind of there now. Buy a house? That's boring too. See, the weird things are like $20 and $30 million. Like, I'd like to go into space. $1 million. Yeah. More rate.
How about $30 million?
Yeah, Soyuz capsule. Duh. I mean, that's pretty straightforward. Hang out on the ISS and go blah 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 blah. You know, I'm here to go blah blah blah. I'm the first person to go blah 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 in space. That's what I would do. You know, other than all the cool social positive things, and you know, I like I said, I've always wanted a radio station, so that would also be true. Living the dream as it is.
What is one of your favorite memories?
Can I talk about what happened during our wedding ceremony and what Ron John did? Is that okay?
That's okay with me.
Okay. I'll be honest with you. One of my favorite memories is, so Referendum 74 passed and everybody in Washington go get married. And as it happens, we were living, what do you call it when you're living together but you don't care about the law?
In whatever? Sin.
Well, that too.
We were cohabitating partners.
Right, which means, so I was allowed to have insurance through Becky, but then Referendum 74 passed and we had to actually be married in order for me to have health insurance. And and so I was already having a birthday party at this place called Station Ubroom, and I said, well, you know, why don't we just get married instead of a birthday party? And she was like, yeah. I was like, so do we need to tell people? Like, not really. I guess it's not going to be a big deal. So I called up Rich Lyons, who I don't know if you've met Rich.
No, I don't think so.
But he has had a podcast called Living After Faith, and he's a former preacher, and he's got the preacher voice, and he's just really, I mean, he's got the voice, and he's really good at it. I'm like, okay, I want him to do the ceremony. And also he's just a really good friend. And you know, actually, if I'm being honest, when I have a problem with the studio, I call him.
Cause he also works in radio.
Yeah. So I just said, I have an announcement to make. No, 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 no. Here's the thing. Becky, are you ready to do this?
I say, yeah, let's do it. And Rich starts saying what, dearly beloved.
Yeah, dearly beloved.
Well, I think he says dearly beleaguered. Usually.
Beleaguered. We are gathered here today, et cetera, et cetera. And Ron John, one of my closest friends, had no idea what was actually happening. And so he, in the middle of the ceremony, Rich said something that he turned into a male genitalia joke. If I may talk around the problem. I don't know, Becky, you're kind of the keeper of my memories these days. What's a particular...
Don't call me the keeper of your memories.
Well, you know what my deal is right now. My memory is not pristine.
I think one of the ones that you said you found really funny was a memory of me telling our friend and roommate, I'm sorry for apologizing so much.
Oh, yeah. So we were out having beverages. It was me, Rosalind, Jeremy, and you. And Becky.
All of whom who have been on the show.
Yeah, they've all been hosts on the show. And we were having a good time, and it was within walking distance of our house. We walked back to the house, and we're in the kitchen. And Becky is being herself, and she's saying, you know, she apologizes for everything, for a lot of things. And so Jeremy says, you know, Becky, You apologize too much, and that makes me feel bad. And what does Becky say?
Really? I'm so sorry.
And then a second passes, and then Becky realizes what just happened, and she threw an open box of Triscuits at him.
Yes. Because he totally said that just to evoke that
from me. Yeah, he just threw...
You little rat!
Crackers everywhere, laughter all over the... Yeah, so that's... I guess all of my best memories are making fun of you? I don't know. That's
weird. There's gotta be other funny things.
Yeah, I think so. That seems unlikely.
What is the strangest candy you've ever had?
I like weird candy. So I've had some...
Actually, you really do like weird candies.
I like really strange... Actually, I think the weirdest candy that I've ever had was this Mexican hair candy.
What?
What?
This is not a thing.
It was this weird... Well, the label was in Spanish, and it was made in Mexico.
As a Spanish teacher that is familiar with Mexican culture, I deny the existence of Mexican hair candy.
It was hair candy made in Mexico. What would you call that?
I think maybe you licked it and then it got dropped on the floor and got hair on it.
No, it wasn't actually hairy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So it was this little, it looked like a little Playmobil guy, little figure. And you crank the bottom of it and this fruit paste came out of the top of his head and formed like a hairdo. And then you ate the hairdo, but it was fruit paste. It was basically liquid fruit by the foot, which is something I really like. And it came out and they ate it, and it would go about halfway up. And so it's like this huge, like this weird plastic applicator to give this sense of hair on this weird guy. And then you eat the hair off his head and then it won't come out anymore. But the pusher that would push the hair out is flat.
Oh, no.
And the top of the top of the head obviously is curved because, people don't have flat heads. So it would leave a lot of candy in it because it was just not a very efficient candy deployment device. So I had to get out my vice grips and pry the thing open to get at the rest of the candy. So I needed to use like heavy tools to get at the candy. That's pretty strange. Like I'd have people over and I'd be eating this stuff and like, hey, try it. And I'm like, oh, it's done. I'm like, no, it's not. Vice grips. Crack.
So
here you go.
Crack the guy's head open to eat into the brain candy.
Yeah. And that's probably the strangest candy I've eaten. I can't think of the worst candy I've had. I can tell you what the worst root beer I had was. Was that organic root beer that was made with stevia?
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
Yeah. It tasted like radioactive river.
I did have a gross candy that was candied yak jerky.
That's candy?
It was candied on the outside, and it was kind of like a grape Mr. Sketch
marker
mixed with the smell of dog food.
I'm guessing this is Chengdu.
Yes, this was in Chengdu, China. Yes. Yeah. It was very strange to have a candied jerky.
How about you? What's the weirdest candy you've had so far?
I don't really exactly know. Because I've tried a lot of candies. Well, Probably the Harry Potter jelly beans.
Oh, okay. Worst candy. Harry Potter jelly beans.
You were saying about speaking of weird deployment devices, something, it was like that roll-on deodorant, but it was candy.
Oh, yeah. It's called slime liquor.
Oh, I remember that. They make those now?
Yeah, I have one at home.
Those are terrible.
You're trying to explain it to me, and it's like, yeah, like a lip gloss. And I was like, wait, so it's basically a candy roll-on deodorant. Like a ball bearing at the top or something?
Yeah, and it has some liquid juice at the bottom. You shake it up, and then you, like, sort of...
Do you, like, roll it on your skin and then lick it off? Is that how you're supposed to do it? Because otherwise, you should probably just do that in a bath.
No, there's actually some, like, jawbreaker thingy. You roll on your tongue, and then it goes past that.
Oh, that sounds dangerous.
Well, yes, for we old folks that break teeth.
Actually, if more like I might accidentally shove the whole thing down my... downstairs I've got beer jelly beans from Jelly Belly, and I'm reasonably certain they're just prepackaged like booger jelly beans because they're terrible. Well, they're horrible. I don't think they were originally designed to be that flavor. I don't think so. I think it's like buttered popcorn and radish or something like that.
What do you think about the eclipse?
It was neat. I have to be honest with you. I didn't spend a lot of time looking at it because
It was morning time.
It was morning time, and I'm usually not up. But two, I already have a fairly scarred retina, and I didn't want to make it any worse. What I really like about the eclipse, though, isn't so much the sun and the moon against the sun, but did you look at trees? Happen to look at some trees while the eclipse was going on?
No, not really.
Okay,
because I was in the path totality, so I wanted to experience the full thing.
Ooh, yeah. Okay, so I wasn't in the awesome. By the way, I'll get to that in a second. But I wasn't in the path of totality. So what it was is if the tree hits the if the sunlight from the eclipse hits the tree.
Oh yeah, there's like little crescents on the
floor. Yeah, it's just like a little pinhole camera, and there's just these little crescents all over the floor. I love that. I think it's amazing. And the quality of the light here in Tacoma while it was going on, it felt weird and unreal and dreamlike.
It was very eerie. It was like a blue filter lens on the world.
Yeah.
And
it dropped by 20 degrees. How was it in the path of totality?
It was it's like I couldn't even say about it because it's like so amazing. It looked like there's a sunset all around you.
So like a 360 degree sunset?
Yeah.
That's cool. Did you get a look at the, did you see any like coronal effects or anything like that?
Those are the big flares that go off the side.
See, that's the one thing I couldn't see not being in the totality, which I wish I could have.
Go ahead.
Nope. Go on.
I could take off my glasses and see it.
I thought you weren't supposed to do that.
Well, it's in a path totality.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. So you're a little smarter than the president then. Very good.
What is the weirdest thing that ever happened to you?
One time I was at an art show in Chicago and I had some change in my pocket on top of my keys, and I went for my keys and the change fell out and one of the pennies landed on its edge, and the guy behind me pointed at it and said precisely the probability of that happens. Like, that happens 1 in 625,345 or something like that. Mm-hmm. And that was pretty strange. The fact that
happened, the company that you hang out with, Sam, would know that.
The fact that it happened and then some, but that's weird enough. But then the fact that somebody immediately pointed at it and shouted probability at me, that's pretty weird. I don't know. Memory, help me out here, Becky.
I had never heard that story, and that's a pretty weird one.
Okay. Not much to it, though. What else? What would you think is pretty weird?
Meeting by happenstance different people. I don't know. Haven't you been like at a what's it called? A Vandegraaff generator with your hair completely standing out in like all directions, radially symmetric?
Oh, yeah. I don't know if it was a Vandegraaff generator or some sort of Van der Waals thing. But when I the last time I briefly lived in back in Chicago for a while, and when that happened, and when I was living there, there was this meeting of people who worked at Fermilab. And this is when the Tevatron was still going. So, like, the maintenance guy for the collider is there and a whole bunch of other people. And there's this guy who was a machinist and a physicist and he was really good with his hands. And he brought this really huge, is it a Vandegraaff? It's not a Vandegraaff generator, but it's the two wheels that spin opposite each other and generate a lot of high voltage, a lot of voltage, not much current, that kind of thing. And so he hooked me up to it. And it was the first, and he hooked some other people up to it, and they go, oh, it feels weird. And then everybody slowly turns and goes, Sam, you should try it. And I'm like, all right, yeah, sure, I'm game. And it was the one time in my life that he cranked it up, and my hair stood on end.
Oh.
Like, it was pretty great. There's a picture of it somewhere. It's about, 15 years ago now? Something like that.
More than 11.
More than 11. Yeah, not much more than 11.
So, I don't know.
What's the weirdest thing that ever happened to you? Out of curiosity.
That I've once, someone thought I was someone else, and then they just started talking about something that I had no idea what it was.
Oh, yeah. One time I was in line in the theater, and I just reached out for a hand.
Oh.
And it turned out not to be Becky.
Oops.
And I was like hanging on for like 30 seconds. I go, Hi, who are you? Like, you're holding my hand. I'm like, not on purpose. That's happened to me.
What is the most embarrassing thing that ever happened to you at school?
I was on the wrestling team and I got pantsed.
Oh, that's like a bullying incident. That's terrible.
It was pretty embarrassing, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess that would be embarrassing.
Let's
hope for an end to all childhood bullying.
I knew you were going to go there. What else? I was briefly at Wheeling High School, the school mascot. So I had to wear a wildcat outfit with a huge head.
Oh.
And the reason I did this is because at the time I knew how to stage fence. And I still know a little bit about how to stage fence. Because we were doing Shakespeare's Twelfth Night. And they wanted a scene where I would valiantly defeat the pirate or whatever. Yeah, I was a pirate. And so I was getting out ready for the big pep rally, and they put something in front of me that I couldn't see. Because I'm fencing. I cannot see. Like, my vision is like maybe 14 degrees. Like, this is what I can see. And I have to do these really outlandish fencing moves, yeah. You know? And so, I can't see the sword. I have no idea. I'm just moving by rote. I can't see above me. I can't see below me. All I can really see is the eyes of the person I'm fencing. And she's like moving her eyes around so that I know like where to do. But somebody put something in front of me. So I'm running out and I trip and the head falls off.
Oh no.
And I just go and they said it was a pretty good recovery, but man, that was embarrassing.
Nice.
Is that it?
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
So, Colton, it's been great having you in the studio, interviewing Sam for a little turnaround. I think it's nice to ask this atheist occasionally, every so often.
Yeah, get to hear things I would never openly admit to.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, no problem. You wanna say this is Ask an Atheist and all that? All right, here we go.
This is Ask an Atheist.
844-SKEPTIC.
844-SKEPTIC.
844-753-7842. We're going to go to the break, and we come back. The best words.
I'm Mike Gillis.
And I'm Casey Dorn, and we want to ask you an important question.
Are you sick and tired of other panel discussion shows wasting your time droning on and on about foreign policy, economics, and human rights?
Or do you want to hear conversations about things that actually matter?
We host a podcast called Radio Versus the Martians. Every month we gather a panel of our nation's finest minds and plunge a rusty prison shank into the heart of tough questions that have an impact on the lives of real people like you.
Like, are drivers required to pull over for the Ghostbusters?
Is United Federation of Planets actually an oppressive dictatorship run by guidance counselors?
Is Arnold Schwarzenegger secretly a genius?
And are we being mean when we laugh at movies that are so bad they're good?
So write your congressman and let them know that Radio Versus the Martians is available on iTunes, Stitcher, and on RadioVersusTheMartians.com.
My name is Jonathan Ariola of TDTFPod. The more voices you hear, the more we observe and feel, the more we learn about the other facets of this complex and wondrous beast that is humanism and free thought. Join me on the science-loving journey through topics like justice, murder, family, diligence, taste, history, society, race, boob jobs, law, addiction, video games, fear, sacrifice, children. Wait, not sacrificing children, that's not what I meant. Bring the popcorn and watch me break down the issues too deep, too fast. Join me at TDTFPod. I'm Jonathan Ariola. Talk to you soon.
48 hours. 24 hours. 10 minutes to go.
The motorcade appears to have stopped, and yes, it appears as though the governor is getting out now. It's hard to see. My God, the rain is coming down in sheets. I've never seen anything like this. There must be tens of thousands of people out here right now. The streets are shut down. Okay, it appears the governor is making his way toward the convention center. No one knows what he's going to say. The crowd is pushing forward through the storm. The Secret Service is struggling to hold them back. A wave of people are rushing toward the candidate. My God.
Zero. For your consideration, we present Convention and its subject, the nominee, ANNEXradio.com, now on iTunes and Stitcher.
Billy. I am a Nigerian prince, and I want to hide a bajillion dollars in your locker.
Wow! A bajillion dollars?
All I need is your lunch money.
What a great deal. Here you go.
Wait, Billy. Just because you want to believe something doesn't mean you should. Come to Camp Quest Northwest, where you'll learn critical thinking and science in a fun-filled, week-long nature camp.
No!
Camp Quest Northwest can be found at campquestnorthwest.org. Donations and volunteers accepted. The devil is not real.
Yes, you hear the music, so you know what that means. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. That's our phone number. It's toll-free nationwide. It's been, believe it or not, I'm not actually down from the mountain just to do the show, or even primarily to do the show, except I wanted to have these guys on the show for a long time. You heard Colton, and in this segment we've got Sky. How are you, Sky?
Good, how are you?
Very, well, yeah, I think you've noticed how busy I am. Today, I was working with Petri Dish, and we were working on KTHLP, getting sort of the final finishing touches of the transmitter going. And so we scheduled you guys for Labor Day, and since we scheduled that, what, back in
sometime
July,
this summer,
June?
Yeah.
And since that time, I got the chief engineer job at KTAH, and so now I got this new thing going on, and it's pretty cool.
Well, speaking of cool, another cool thing is that you might recognize Sky's voice from an episode we did a whopping 5 years ago, 4 days at Camp Quest. So,
oh yeah,
she's actually new to the studio, but not new to being on Ask an Atheist.
Was 4 days at Camp Quest the first one I did, or
yeah. It was all of 5 years ago at this point,
which I consider to be my best work, hands down. I think that was the episode I probably had the most fun doing, and I think it had the best output. And the great thing about it is I had very little to do with how good it was. It was all you guys. So, well, you're here for the best word segment, this is kind of a leading question, but so you're interested in politics?
Yeah,
and specifically the best words as we're talking about.
Yeah, at my school, not a lot of the kids really are into politics or watch the news often.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of have taken on responsibility of kind of informing them about the politics.
All right, I identify with that position a little bit. I've been there, but to that end, you know, Becky, we're us producing the show today.
Yes.
It's I don't know if you know this, but Sky, but we are being blasphemous right now just because we're talking about atheism here on a national day of prayer. In fact, Donald Trump proclaimed today as a national day of prayer for the victims of Hurricane Harvey and for our national response and recovery efforts. Trump noted that he was reminded of Scripture's promise that God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. He invited all Americans in houses of worship throughout the nation to join in one voice of prayer and praised houses of worship that had begun recovery outreach efforts.
Because it's only churches that have done recovery outreach efforts. Every single
Why
one
are you,
of them also.
No, not your turn. It is Sky turn. What are you thinking about this?
Well, prayers don't really do anything. They're just like, oh, hey, how you doing? Good. That's good.
Right.
And instead of like, here, have this. It might make you feel better.
Well, here's an interesting thing among atheists, and I kind of want your take on this, is I am not particularly insulted when somebody says, I'll pray for you. Because when you take away all of the weird religious claptrap, it really is, I'm not going to do much, but I do care about you. And, that's pretty good. I don't know. Where do you sit on that one?
I agree with you on that.
Okay. Yeah. It's like, I you know, it can be used to, I'm going to pray for you, and that means you must accept my religion. I've seen that done, but when that's not done, I don't really care, you know? So, have you done anything yet for response to Hurricane Harvey yet?
No, I haven't.
Are you thinking in those directions?
Not really.
Not really, yeah, I suppose.
If I had money, yes.
Well, there's that.
I like that you bring up the money part, because a lot of people feel motivated to do something. And so in a lot of disaster situations, you get people sending things like teddy bears. And then they end up with enormous warehouses of teddy bears that are also flooded and moldy, and nobody wants moldy teddy bears.
Yeah.
And it's like when you send cash, when you send money to vetted organizations, they're able to get what they need at that exact time.
Yeah. The only times when I was a kid that I was able to help with disaster efforts was when they were local. And then it was fairly easy for me to go somewhere and do something helpful. And Harvey is kind of far away from here. And but I mean, we're keeping our eyes open. I mean, we talked about it. You guys talked about it last week, I trust?
Yes.
Okay. I am specifically not listening to the show while I'm away. So I actually don't know what you talk about. If you ever wanted to do a show
where we just slam your good name, right?
Yeah, for the whole hour, this is the time. Maybe you should coordinate with her, and you can be on that episode too. But
we did talk about non-religious folks and ways that people, you know, do outreach and things like that. And this National Day of Prayer thing gets under my skin when it's playing lip service to the houses of worship that are doing all of these things.
Yeah.
You know, yes, there's a lot of churches and houses of worship that have experienced, you know, great damage. Yeah, there were Muslim community centers and mosques and churches and synagogues that opened up to allow
lip service
people.
My rear eye. This
oh, really?
Has nothing to do with lip service. This is back, churches, houses of worships, people laying hands on. I don't know if you've been paying attention to his approval ratings, but it really seems like the really fundamentally religious Christian is all he's got left as a really strong base. I mean, other than, you know, weird people on the internet. So weird people on the internet and weird religious people. This is what he knows. This is the one thing he knows how to do, and that's campaign. And this is straight up campaign posturing. That's just what it looks like to me, which is why he's not saying anything specific about religion. It's like when Obama got the Nobel Peace Prize for not being George W. Bush. He went to accept the reward, and his entire speech was about this one particular theologian that he really likes, and I'm not good at pronouncing his name, so I'm not even going to try. And it was like a really specific treatise about religion and how, okay, I'm getting the peace, you know, this is what religion means to me. You're giving me the Peace Prize, but I'm the president of the United States. I'm gonna go to war. You know, I am now in charge of people who kill people. You know, that's a thing that happens. Where this is just, I'm going to say nice things about God and say all the things that you want to hear so that you will vote for me in 3.5 years. And that's really what this seems like.
One of the weirder things was that he was making these remarks in the presence of other religious individuals in terms of, you know, like Hurricane Harvey. And I believe that it was the head of the National Baptist Convention that praised the spirit of, you know, humanity and actually mentioned those who have no faith. So it took the Baptist leader to be able to acknowledge that atheists or non-religious folks are also working to help do, you know, relief efforts. Whereas, you know, our ostensible president just says, yay, we should all pray and join in one American voice of prayer. I don't know what kind of voice that is.
Yeah, who knows? You're not in school yet. I was going to ask you some questions about school, but when does school start for you? Like next week or?
Next Wednesday.
Oh, okay. Oh, boy. Continuing with Harvey, Donald Trump has pledged to donate $1 million of his personal fortune to charities assisting in Hurricane Harvey recovery. The White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders solicited suggestions for recipients from reporters in briefings. At the same time, Trump held Oval Office meetings with the representatives of the Red Cross, Southern Baptist Relief, and the Salvation Army. Trump historically has failed to come through on charity pledges, having promised $8.5 million to nonprofits since the year 2000, while only having contributed under $3 million. He has not contributed to the Trump Foundation since 2008. So, I don't know about you, but I think this goes back to just to more, you know, campaign posturing. Like, this really feels $1 million. I mean, let's be honest. Like, in the last segment, what would you do with $1 million? Well, like, I can't do anything like go into space with it. You know, it's a lot of money. It's more money than I've ever seen or had. But in the grand scheme of things, it's not, you know, a whole lot of money. And if he's apparently so rich, toss. And you're also kind of the guy who runs the country. maybe you could toss in a little more. I don't know. Where do you sit on this guy?
I really am just... He promises so many things, yet he never follows through.
Right.
This may just be another one of those times.
So, do you think he would get away with it this time, though, if he just kind of backed away from it?
I mean, possibly, but this is slightly different than the other instances, because this is something that's happening right now, so you have to act now or never.
Yeah, I would agree. And he's also the president, which kind of puts him in a different position, I would think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think what's remarkable about this is that we're already seeing some backtrack and saying, oh, no, I think it'll be the Trump Foundation that donates because it's already a giving charity. You know, he says that he's worth, what, $10 billion, but people actually can document-wise attribute about $1.2 million worth of worth to him. And we know that even, you know, the now or never kind of pressure hasn't really... resulted in Trump sort of showing up at these donations. He did, you remember when he, as a candidate, skipped out on one of the debates and said, I'm going to poo-poo your debate. I think it was Iowa. Mm-hmm. And instead, I'm going to hold a rally across town and we'll raise funds for veterans. And it took him like 4 months with a lot of scrutiny saying, so where's that fundraising for veterans that you said you were going to do? And that was under pretty high scrutiny. So, I don't know. This could be another thing that just fails to materialize. And on the $1 million, yeah, that seems like a huge amount to an individual.
Yeah.
And sure, you know, it would be to one school that gets its, you know, that gets one little part of its gymnasium flooded. But you can't really do a whole lot with $1 million in terms of rebuilding an entire city's infrastructure. And especially to say I'm going to have $1 million of my personal funds when I'm cutting climate research or things that help for disaster preparedness.
Especially when we're talking about one of the biggest and most infrastructurally important cities in the nation, when it's getting rainfall that is best measured in yards or meters rather than inches. I think that's telling. And, you know, okay, so we're bagging on Trump. You know, we're slamming Trump here because, I mean, let's be honest, I think he's a waste of super strings. But the disaster response by the government in the case of Harvey is heads, shoulders, torsos, and possibly most of the crust of the earth above the kind of response we saw during Katrina so far. Is it perfect? Of course not. But I don't want... Do you ever have problems like this in political times where, you know, you wanna the guy's bad, and he's bad for us, and he's bad for everybody else, and you want to talk about it, but you don't want it to go beyond the point where there are people who really need help and the government is actually providing it right now? I mean, where would you position yourself there?
I'm not quite sure what you mean.
You want to help me out here?
Like, do we want to keep slamming him just for the purpose of slamming Trump because he's slammable, even if he's doing something or involved as peripherally as possible with government help of people? I mean, he appointed a FEMA director.
He did.
So he has someone who's in charge of federal emergency management that can be responsive. I mean, he's governing in that respect and letting those people do their work. So is it worth slamming Trump despite him kind of overseeing some real help?
I mean, I guess it's okay to say, just to commend him on a few things, but overall, you really just need to point out what's wrong. Even though there hasn't, even though all the pressure is against him, like whenever you turn on the TV, it's usually something that has to do with Trump that's blatantly bad.
Yeah.
But sometimes, well, actually, if you put enough pressure, people, even the people who are still supporting him, they might be like, yeah, maybe I was kind of wrong here. So
not that they would say that.
No, but like, just start thinking that.
Yeah. I guess what it sounds like what you're advocating for here, and tell me if I'm wrong, is that we just kind of got to be evidence based on this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Think critically about the dude that's in charge.
Yeah. It's So I don't really have a problem getting mad at the president in times like this. We don't have to stand behind the commander-in-chief when he's, you know, doing the basic requirements of the job. Basically because he's not the one doing it.
He's letting other people do a semi-competent job in his stead.
Yeah, like in Katrina, the problem was FEMA wasn't really getting good management, and people were, as a result, were dying. And that was a basic failure of the job at this point. At least, you know, people have learned since then and are doing better. Do you remember Katrina? Because that was a bit ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
You must have been pretty little, because it's now I think 12 years since Hurricane Katrina. Since it was before Obama's presidency, yeah. We should note, oh, internet, since there's many people that are saying, look, Obama didn't even do anything. He was out golfing during Katrina.
Right, yeah.
He wasn't even the president.
Yeah. You know, I think I was buying a pie during Katrina or something like that. And because I was clearly the president then. Yeah. Weird. Okay. Texas Secretary of State Ronaldo Pablos reportedly declined an offer of state aid from Quebec and instead requested prayers from the Canadian province. International Relations Minister Christine St. Pierre proposed sending trained crews with equipment to help restore power along with blankets, bed, pillows, and hygiene supplies to Houston Metroplex. Hydro-Quebec crews maintain a mutual assistance agreement with other infrastructure restoration crews in the Northeast, but also help during major events outside the region, such as in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. Before we go on anything, Hydro-Quebec.
Yes, Hydro-Quebec is that network, but it sounds amazing.
No, it sounds like a secret base. It sounds like I'm a supervillain, and when I'm done doing my supervillain things, I return to my secret island lair, Hydro-Quebec. And that's what it sounds like.
Is it the parallel sounds with hide and hiding, secret Quebec? No, it's just Hydro-Quebec.
Why you gotta overthink this,
Becky? I don't know. I was just emphasizing the critical thinking aspect.
Okay, so there is an update, though. Apparently, Pablos had referred St. Pierre to the Texas Department of Public Safety during their initial conversation, since his office isn't tasked with determining disaster response needs. Quebec will be sending 5,000 emergency hygiene kits. Both Pablos' office in Texas and the Canadian Foreign Affairs Minister's office issued statements clarifying that Secretary Pablos did not decline the minister's offer, but instead made sure Quebec made contact with the proper Texas agency that receives assistance and aid from foreign governments. So, Becky, you prepared this because I was, you know, working on an EAS system. So I'm assuming that people online are talking about this and not mentioning the update.
It was actually because of the online talk that the update had to happen, as far as we can tell. So you had this, St. Pierre was interviewed and saying, well, yeah, I called them up and they just said, oh, thanks, but no thanks. Just pray for us. Right. Something to that effect. And she was quoted in news media as having said that. And two outlets in the U.S. kind of ran with it. One was the Friendly Atheist blog and one was Raw Story. And apparently both in Quebec and in Texas, they were flooded with phone calls saying, this is a really dumb thing to reject. And why are you asking for just prayers when there's trained people that can relieve our workers that have been, you know, going straight for 72 hours, when there's supplies that could be directed into, you know, a very specific way. That's a really dumb thing and despicable. And they were getting all of this like hate mail and phone calls. And so both offices kind of backtracked a little bit, as far as we could tell, and said, actually, it was this miscommunication because our offices aren't exactly parallel. She called me. I had to direct her to the Department of Safety. Later, she did call the Department of Safety. Yes, we are sending the kits and we'll stay, you know, on alert for if you actually need human resources down there, things like that.
So do you think that it was really this way? Or do you think that it got attention, so they backpedaled? Like, what are you thinking? What's your...
I'm inclined to think the latter, because I think that if the thing that stuck out so much to this Canadian foreign minister is, well, he said no thank you, but then asked us to pray for him, that might seem to be like, oh, this is a very sort of American thing, especially when you're seeing a lot of people saying thoughts and prayers, pray for the victims of the hurricane. And I think that that's a distinctly American thing, and it seemed like perhaps a Canadian observation of that response. And the fact that she didn't mention, yes, we're in contact with the other agency, yeah, it could have been her saving face, saying, no, I called the wrong person, and now I've been directed to the correct person. But I think if that were the story, it would be, hey, yes, in a week, we're a little bit delayed, but we're sending those hygiene kits, and we want to help out.
This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. We're going to go to the break, and when we come back, well, we're going to continue talking politics. Maybe best words, maybe not, but we're going to hang out with Sky, and we're going to get to things that are important to Sky.
Has Ngadwe Trust invaded your town? Are you tired of government officials who want to plaster Ngadwe Trust on taxpayer-owned property? Are you afraid because your local sheriff placed an Ngadwe Trust decal on the patrol cars? We are here to help. The original motto project is for those who feel the separation of church and state is an important issue and should be honored regardless of your belief or lack thereof. Theists, non-theists, and all free thinkers are welcome. We need your support to show politicians that diversity exists within our nation, and their promotion of a monotheistic religion and push for theocracy will not be tolerated. Stand up and be heard. Join us at originalmotto.us.
My name is Jonathan Ariola of TDTF Pod. The more voices you hear, the more we observe and feel, the more we learn about the other facets of this complex and wondrous beast that is humanism and free thought. Join me on the science-loving journey through topics like justice, murder, family, diligence, taste, history, society, race, boob jobs, law, addiction, video games, fear, sacrifice, children. Wait, not sacrificing children, that's not what I meant. Bring the popcorn and watch me break down the issues too deep, too fast. Join me at TDTF Pod. I'm Jonathan Ariola. Talk to you soon.
Has Ngadwe Trust invaded your town? Are you tired of government officials who want to plaster Ngadwe Trust on taxpayer-owned property? Are you afraid because your local sheriff placed an Ngadwe Trust decal on the patrol cars? We are here to help. The original motto project is for those who feel the separation of church and state is an important issue and should be honored regardless of your belief or lack thereof. Theists, non-theists, and all free thinkers are welcome. We need your support to show politicians that diversity exists within our nation, and their promotion of a monotheistic religion and push for theocracy will not be tolerated. Stand up and be heard. Join us at originalmotto.us.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. I'm Sam. I've come down off the mountain. I have no interesting revelations, and I'm going right back up the mountain after this is over.
We built a golden calf in your absence.
No, you didn't.
No, we didn't.
I would totally cash that in. Are you kidding? That's good money. Sky, so you say you've been, you know, you've been kind of explaining to your fellow students how important the political situation is. Does that extend to the religious stuff as well, or?
Not really. Okay. I haven't really seen it that much in the news, and it's usually the stuff that's in the news.
Okay.
Last year, my first period class was history, so we did the CNN 5-minute little news segment. We watched that every morning, and afterwards, I would usually tell my classmates more about it and my opinions on it.
Okay. I mean, not a lot of interface between school and religion for you yet?
No.
Okay. Well, we do have a news story kind of regarding that. A new law in Arkansas requires the motto, In God We Trust, to be placed in public buildings that are maintained or operated using state funds. For schools, the law mandates that they display a poster of In God We Trust above an American flag in all libraries and classrooms. The school displays must be donated from private organizations or be purchased through private contributions to the local school boards or the Arkansas Department of Finance and Administration. A separate law requires that child abuse hotline numbers be posted in student bathrooms with information in both Spanish and English. Copies of the abuse prevention posters are available online through the state's Department of Education. So, have you seen any In God We Trust stuff in schools or anything like that? Or
not yet, except for when we do the Pledge of Allegiance.
Okay.
Are you still made to do the pledge, like, every morning, or is it just during assemblies?
Every morning, but usually I replace God with, like, Architeuthis or something.
Does that get you any reactions, or is it just kind of a little mumbled under the breath kind of thing?
Most of people are mumbling the whole time, so it's just a collective mumble, so I'm not heard.
Okay. Is it because they don't know it, or because they're also being subversive and refusing to acknowledge
somebody saying under Yoda or something like that elsewhere in the room?
It's just kids in my school do not like talking in front of other people, even if everyone's talking together.
Really?
Yeah.
So, but you seem to be doing pretty okay right now?
Yeah.
Is this other people, or is this not? Like, are you afraid of talking in front of people? Or
not if it's my peer group.
Fair enough. So we're okay then.
I guess we're Sky's peers. Score!
Yeah, I'll take it. I remember when I was when we were fighting the In God We Trust thing in Clark County in Washington, where you know, I don't know if have you heard the Supreme Court thing about this stuff where it's ceremonial deism. It's not actually the reason they're allowed to do this is because it doesn't say which God, or it's not specifically about a religion, or
no, I haven't.
Yeah, that's what it is. Is they say, well, it's ceremonial. It's not real. Except I was in Clark County, and they had to do the Pledge of Allegiance, and I just, you know, I stood there and so One Nation, and then everybody who was on one side of the room shouted "Under God" at the other half of the room, and I'm like, yeah, that doesn't seem so ceremonial to me. That seems a bit more weaponized than like maybe ceremonial knife or dagger or gun or something
it's
like that.
It's like you're then performing a sacrifice.
yeah. That was also the time when one of the guys on the council said they brought a busload of people down from Pierce County, and it was just me. So people started calling me the busload, and that's why it says on Facebook the busload. So,
well, you do have a face for radio.
Yeah, so. Indeed. is there a secular student alliance thing at your school?
Not at my school, no.
No, okay.
We don't really have any religious things.
Well, that's good.
The only thing that's kind of like a group of people instead of like a club or sports would be the LGBTQ club.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Which is definitely cool since middle schools, definitely in the 90s, like didn't really have that. And people were still fighting tooth and nail to be able to get, you know, gay straight alliances and those kinds of clubs to be even permitted in a high school, even though they've been constitutionally protected. But you have to do a lot of fighting to establish those in a lot of respects. And so, you know, 15, 20 years later, you know, here we have middle schools having places where students can gather and approach issues and get, you know, camaraderie and confidence and things like that. So
I know I'm haven't been on, like I said, I haven't been listening to the show recently, I'm assume it's been talked to death, but I'd like to talk about it for my own purposes. Did you do Camp Quest this year?
Yes, I did.
Here in the area, or did you go elsewhere?
Here.
Okay. When did you go, in August or July?
August session.
How was it?
It was fabulous. So, I absolutely loved the theme.
So what was the theme this year?
It was X-Files.
Oh, no kidding.
Or as we say, Camp Quest Files.
Very nice. So what kind of stuff did it involve?
Well, it was adorable. I have to say, at the first campfire, we had one of the counselors made it look like there was an Architeuthis sighting.
Oh.
And so all week we were doing different like puzzles and experiments trying to figure out what that was. If it was a person, who was it?
So we tested some mystery powder substances that were found at Architeuthis sighting, some squidding.
I think we might have to be careful with the phrase mystery powder.
Ah, well, I mean, I can reveal what they were, actually. I mean, we tested them using iodine and acids and vinegars and things like that and determined that they were, in fact, just household substances, right?
Yeah. I believe it was baking soda.
Oh, very good. So what was your favorite thing about the week?
Oh, that's really hard. Probably the fact that the whole camp was basically meme lords. We saw We right. sung All Stars at the top of our lungs at least once a day.
Meme lords.
My favorite moment actually does involve Sky.
Oh, really?
So we had a UFO regatta. We had a UFO contest and then a UFO regatta, and they were on a...
So a regatta is like a pasta tube that's filled with cheese?
No, regatta is a boat race, right? Usually.
Oh, okay, right.
So these UFOs were unidentifiable floating objects.
Oh, I see what you did there.
And I cannot take credit for that naming custom, but... Sky, your team made you the pilot of your UFO, since you had like the best like master ratio distribution. You could be like long and lean, and you were lightest, right? And you had named your vessel Sky's Demise.
Yeah, we did not have very much confidence going into it.
In August, the longest vehicle that had stayed afloat was something like under 90 seconds. And yours managed to stay afloat for how long?
8.5 minutes.
So what was it made on?
Cardboard and duct tape.
I think I've spotted. Now, I'm not Dan. I don't know much about seafaring vessels, but I think I may have spotted a problem with these UFOs.
Oh?
I'm reasonably certain cardboard, not particularly proof against liquids.
We coated it with duct tape as much as we could.
Oh, okay. Well, duct tape. Well, I guess duct tape does kind of work underwater.
It was good Gorilla Tape.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so you got to change the name.
Yeah. So, well, how was it constructed?
It looked kind of like a rudimentary canoe.
Okay, so it's like basically two formed panels.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we had tubes, rolled up cardboard tubes. For a seat to add extra of buoyancy.
Okay, to add extra buoyancy, not for like not for ballast or something like that.
No.
How did you propel yourself?
We used kayak oars.
Oh, so you didn't have to construct a propulsion system, because that would be kind of fun if you had to use like cardboard tubes as you know, you had to put them on your hands and act like a robot.
We had like an hour and a half to make this. I don't think even if we had more time, we could not do that.
Okay. And then, so Becky.
So you had named it Sky's Demise, right? But during the course of the regatta, knowing that you had actually stayed afloat for more than, I think, any of the other vessels combined with all of their combined times, you ended up changing the name of your vessel, right?
Yeah, it was Sky's Surprise.
So it lasted eight and a half minutes, and you're like, okay, I'm done, I'm getting out, or did you destroy it?
It started sinking over time, and it just got so waterlogged, I was like, yeah, it's gonna start sinking, so I got out.
Oh, okay. So, no, you did not go down, the captain did not go down with the ship, as it were?
Just before it sank, okay. I got out.
I'm reasonably sure you're in violation of some sort of law of the sea there by not sticking with your vessel there. But, you know, I guess we'll look the other way.
Other vessels came to her rescue.
Oh, okay. So did you came in, well, I guess not first because it'd be first to sink, but you won the regatta?
Yeah, I guess.
All right, that's good. Oh, hey, I've got a story about Clark County. Clark County Council in southwestern Washington State unanimously adopted guidelines this summer that clarify policy regarding invocations given before council meetings. 4 years ago, council members started inviting local Christian clergy to lead prayer before meetings, but this year the council began working on guidelines to make invocations more inclusive. The new policy that allows groups and individuals without religious affiliation to offer words that appeal to universal values of our country. A moment of silence may also be held in place of a verbal communication. I know that the guy who was really... Who's really online with that In God We Trust thing, he's not in politics anymore.
Yeah, I think they've had possibly a complete changeover of their council members there.
Yeah.
It was also the year that they were going from 3 to 5.
Yeah.
I don't know how you can run a council with 3 people, right?
Yeah, but not a busy county, I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure that it's more busy now. I mean, they're right across the river from Portland,
yep.
Right across the bridge from Portland, and... you know, big economic area of our state.
God, that
too.
Was 4 years ago.
Yes, it was.
It was. Did you see any of that?
No.
TV? Yeah, my favorite picture of me ever, because it was me on TV on the local news, and I'm shouting into a bullhorn, and I'm like, "That's That's kind of what I do, isn't it?
And it said something like the banner underneath said something like atheist activist protests in God We Trust or something.
Something
like that.
Like that, yeah. Yeah. It's better than the Apocalypse Not one that King Five did.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I looked a little weird. Because I'm wearing a Yeti Corn t-shirt that I can't find anymore. It may have been lost on the tour, but it was a Yeti Corn. So it's a Yeti with a unicorn horn. It says, I don't even exist. And
it's a good skeptic t-shirt.
It's a great, yeah, it's a pretty good skeptic t-shirt. I think I'm ready to wrap it up. How about you guys?
I think so.
All right. I don't have a website to send people to for your case, but by all means, maybe on the show some other time.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
All right. Great. This is Ask an Atheist. Our website is www.askanatheist.tv. Can I stall for time or not, Becky? Or are you just going to judge me on everything I do? Awesome. All right, you can go to our website at askanatheist.tv. You can email us at questions at askanatheist.tv. You can Twitter us at askanatheistwa. You're not, you know, us, but for the next month, it's going to be us without me, because I'm going back up the mountain. Thank you, Colton. Thank you, Sky. I'm going to go finish up the radio thing, and then I'm going to get something to eat. See you guys next time.